welcome to episode number 22 of Girl Fight. We are back. It's been a while since we have been here. The last time that you heard from us was actually our PAX panel, which was a couple weeks ago. So it's cool to be back. My name is Nicole Tanner, and I am your host today. I am joined by Megan Sullivan.
Lar.
Christine Steimer.
Hello there.
And Dana Jungle Ward.
Hi.
Jess is down in L.A. shooting Attack of the Show, so that's
Attack
why she's
of the show.
Not with us today.
I think that's how it goes.
I don't even know.
I haven't watched it.
I've never watched
it.
I've never watched G4.
Never?
Never?
It was never on any of the, my whole cable history. I don't have cable right now.
Yeah.
And it's just not.
Didn't
something.
You work in PR?
Didn't
you have to watch the clips? Were your games never on that?
No.
No.
Now where I work.
Okay. I watched,
we'll tell stories
a lot
about that somewhere else.
Get things placed there.
There was not a lot of coverage of mumbo jumbo games.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So quick housekeeping before we get going here. Just want to remind everybody that a bunch of us are participating in a charity called Extra Life, which means that we will be playing video games straight for 24 hours.
I don't know how I'm going
to
do it.
October 16th to the 17th.
Caffeine.
There was a dance marathon at my college, and it was for 24 hours, and I just did 12 because I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to do this for 24 hours.
You literally had to dance for
you just had to stand up for 24 hours.
Ugh,
essentially,
that's bad enough.
Which is terrible because you're like, I'm so tired.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
So
just like in Gilmore Girls.
It is like in Gilmore Girls.
I think playing games will be a little easier.
It'll be a little bit
that.
Easier.
Yeah.
Sit.
Because we can sit on our butts. I totally plan on bringing a pillow and like laying
that's
down.
That's a good idea. And a blanket.
No, because then I will fall asleep.
A blanket.
I can't sit in my office chair for 24 hours.
I'm going to like stand up maybe at some point, do little stretches while I'm doing my World of
we
Warcraft.
We could do, maybe we'll have, we have a preview build of Dance Central in the office. We could do calisthenic breaks in the middle.
That would be fun.
That would be.
Looking forward to my dance moves now, aren't you?
Yes, just snapping around.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, I was in show choir.
Yeah, so you can sign up to game with us on the Extra Life website. You can just join Team IGN, and the URL to find all of our profiles and whatnot is tinyurl.com/extraIGN, and I'll post this on Facebook and Twitter as well. And if you can't participate and you have the means, please donate to one of us. Other editors besides just us are going to be participating, and we're going to video it and all that kind of stuff. So it should be lots of fun.
So me, Dana, and Nick are going to be playing World of Warcraft. So you can join up with
us. If you're a WoW fan.
We'll probably all be on the same server, I imagine. So we'll tell you what it is beforehand. That way you can
I have no idea what I'll be playing yet, but
I'm sure. And I'm sure we'll figure out. You know, a bunch of us will be playing online and all sorts of various things. So we'll be. Mr. Miller is the one kind of spearheading the whole thing, so I'm sure we'll be getting up info about it. We'll pass it along.
Yeah, I'm sure that there'll probably be some Halo involved and things
Halo,
of that nature.
And I think there's also planning to live stream. So if you want to watch people playing games, that's going to be really exciting.
Yeah, I know.
But like, some people seem to get excited by doing, or at least do it. I mean, people watched the Christmas Eve hangout.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was like, what Christmas Eve? Oh,
yeah.
Yes, it's Jim Riley and Greg.
Jim Riley and Greg.
Playing Rogue Warrior.
And drinking and hanging out. And some people out
there
watched
I imagine they're probably more entertaining than you would imagine.
It is Jim Riley.
Yeah, it's Jim Riley. Everything that comes out of his mouth is entertaining, so... So definitely check out Extra Life and participate if you can. So let's start off like we normally do with what we're playing. Megan is sick.
Yes, I made the silly mistake of getting a flu vaccine and a pneumonia vaccine on the same day. In the same arm. So you can see I have this very.
Oh
so
my God!
To make it so that our listeners understand what the heck is going on.
Dear Lord!
Oh my God! Dear Lord, woman, what happened to your arm?
Yeah, it literally looks like someone took a baseball bat and slammed
it. It wasn't
arm.
Me.
It was. It actually was not Nicole.
Yeah. Or Christine.
Or Christine.
Or me.
Or
your boss.
Or my boss. Well, my boss did hit me in the right arm today, but that is a different story. But anyway, I actually...
it's all swollen.
Yeah, my whole family had a reaction to the pneumonia vaccine, and then we all got flu symptoms from the flu shot. So they're because they're giving out some powerful stuff this year to combat... you know, what they think is coming. And so you do need them, but I would not recommend getting them on the same day and in the same arm. So I am really kind of, when I said bleh at the beginning, I really meant ugh.
But since you've been at home, you've been gaming, right?
I have been gaming. That, thank you for leading
Does
me
your
back.
Arm hurt, though?
Yeah.
Like when it, you
it was actually, it was actually so stiff at one point, I couldn't move it. And it actually looked worse than this the other day. So
does it hurt to play games, or are you okay?
Well, I can do this. Okay.
You can play Civ 5. You got one, you know.
Yeah, just one arm.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah, well, true. I didn't play Civ 5, but good segue. I did actually get a couple of weeks ago Zeus Master of Olympus and tried that out because I've never played a strategy game on PC before and had to get an older game because I have an older computer. Mm-hmm. And 30 seconds into gameplay, there's a Hydra running around my non-existent village and I can't build anywhere else, but there is a monster there. And 30 seconds into it, people are challenging me to a fight. I'll get you yet, you know, what was the name of my character? Artemisia or something like that. And I was just like, I haven't done anything yet. Meanwhile, the people are like, or the computer's telling me, people think you're the cat's meow. Why? We're in the middle of an empty field. There's a Hydra running around and people are challenging me to a fight. These people are stupid. So well, I was like, okay. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I was like, you're all stupid. So I was like, okay, I can't even do that. Stupid. I don't know what the heck I'm doing. So this is not off to a good start because I really want to play Civ 5. But if I can't even conquer this game, we're going to have problems.
I am thinking Civ 5 will have better tutorials.
I was going to say, and I'll speak to Civ 5 when we get there.
Okay. Yeah. But I was like, okay, I will get back on familiar territory. So I downloaded two DLCs for Dragon Age. One was The Witch Hunt, and one was something that came out before that. And I've actually been sort of reluctant to play them because it's like the last DLCs for Dragon Age. So I kind of want to keep the memory
alive.
Yeah,
but then it's Dragon Age 2, which is
so
much better.
But I need something to play, but to more Dragon Age between that and Dragon Age 2. And
that's why you have Mass Effect.
She doesn't have 360.
Well,
or it's coming on PS3 eventually.
Yeah,
just wait. In January.
Yes, but then you'll have Fallout New Vegas.
I don't like Fallout.
What?
I don't like Fallout.
Well, whatever.
Well, then I don't know. Well, then fine. And then,
I can't help you.
Yeah, exactly.
Oblivion. You could try out Oblivion.
That is true. I could try out Oblivion.
Oblivion is cool.
Yeah. And I still have yet to. Someone was really nice. I think his name was Carlton. Gave me Vagrant Story, and I've been saving that up. Like, I've been all saving it, excited to play
saving
it again.
It for
and
what?
So, I don't know. It's just, I've been excited to play it. I wanted an occasion to play it, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and start playing it.
24 hour game marathon. I have Oblivion on PS3 if you want to borrow it.
Hmm?
I have Oblivion for PS3 if you want to borrow it.
Okay, I might take you up on that because that would be fun. So, and the last thing I played was more Harvest Moon Grand Bazaar, but that game is not very entertaining.
For some reason, when you said that, the song How Bizarre just popped into my head.
Oh.
Now it's going to be in all of our heads.
I'm sorry, but that it made me chuckle.
Shoot.
Okay.
You suck, Christine. Yeah.
All right. What did you play, Christine?
I started playing, I've been in Japan, so I've played a whole lot of short demos in Japanese that I didn't understand. and then when I got back home, tried to finish Mafia 2. I haven't done it yet. Because I hate driving in that game, and that's sort of a level or whatever mission that I'm on, where you're just running away from the police, essentially. And I have a crappy car that keeps fishtailing out of control. So I was like, whoa.
There it is.
Hello.
Dana's Diet Coke.
Yes.
So I was like, screw this, and I turned it off. And now I'm playing... Oh, and then I played Truth or Lies, game that is basically, have you ever played Truth or Truth? Not Truth or Dare, but Truth or Truth.
No.
Did you ever play Truth or Dare?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so it's like Truth or Dare minus the daring. So it's just,
okay.
Truth or Truth. No, that's what we used to call it. It was Truth or Truth. Because there is no dare option. You just ask each other questions.
So if you didn't feel like and standing then, up, you're like, oh, okay. This is
and then, but it has, you have to have a microphone for it because you speak all of your answers into it. And then the game, quote unquote, like analyzes whether or not you're telling the truth. So it's supposed to be like a lie detector, but it doesn't work. So it fails at life.
Okay. What system is this for?
It's on Wii 360 and PS3. However, if you like trophies or achievements, you might want to rent it because they're super easy.
Oh.
There you go.
It's like 20 minutes and you'll be
done.
Speak
into the microphone. Wow. Ding! Trophy.
Yeah, no, essentially. But at first I thought, oh, cool, this is actually working. Like, it caught me on one correct lie, one correct truth. Uh-huh. But then after that, it was a crapshoot. It was just like, oh, I told the truth. And it was like, no, you're lying. I was like, what? No, I didn't. And then I was, one of the questions is, what is an activity you like to do with your partner? And I was like, we like to waterboard each other because we find it really relaxing. And I was like, oh, you're totally telling the truth. I was like, really? Really? All right.
Wow.
You don't get a good score.
Yeah.
So, and then I've been playing Blade Kitten on PSN.
How is that? And we'll leave it at that.
It's just boring. All
right.
Yeah, that review's so coming later.
You've been having some great gaming.
Yeah. Times. Woo. How about you, Dana? Sit 5.
I played Professor Layton. I'm almost done. Like, I kind of hit a thing where I had to turn off the game, and then I realized I hadn't saved, and so I was gonna have to play back through like 3 or 4 puzzles, and so then I haven't gone back since then.
Yeah, but
I'm in the last
really
thing.
Easy, right?
Yeah, no, I know. Although now it's been long enough that I've probably forgotten what the answers were. So I'm very close to the end on that, and I love the Professor Layton games. Mm-hmm. I logged back into WoW for the first time in over a year, and I play, my main is a gnome, so I've been doing all taking back, is it Gnome or Regan? I don't even know how to say the name of the town, gnome town. They're taking it back, so in preparation for Cataclysm, there's a whole bunch of new quest chains. Like,
oh, cool.
Like, we're all prepping to take back our city, so it's very, very
Let
cute.
Let my people go.
Pretty much.
Wait, I have a quick question, because I don't know anything about WoW. Do you have romance options in it, or is it just you run around as a dwarf or an elf?
It's with real life people.
I mean, you could have a real life
romance.
People have gotten married in it.
Yeah.
Really? Like
in real life.
But they had their wedding ceremony in the game.
You can buy wedding clothes and stuff.
Yeah. Oh. And, you know, they had one of their friends who also played, who was an officiant, and, you know, so they all did it in the game. But I heard about somebody who did that, who raided them, like, while their wedding was going on.
Oh, no! That's the saddest story ever.
Yeah. So, I wouldn't recommend...
I don't know. I thought Fable 3, where you could like go around and like, you know, give a thumbs up to an NPC. I was thinking more like that. But
God, I hated my husband in Fable.
No,
I killed both of them.
Yeah. Nice.
Wow, man eater.
They were.
Does Greg know about this?
It was before him. He doesn't need to know.
So WoW, I've been playing a little bit of that. I just got done, and I have to say it's a little bit of a relief, not because it isn't awesome, but So I was one of the people, because we're doing IGN, we got the pro guitar for Rock Band 3. Mm-hmm. So I had it, and I had to practice for 2 weeks just to see it, because I don't know how to play guitar, and so I wanted to see how far I would get. And so I was doing that, and it's pretty amazing. I mean, it's like practicing an instrument, you know? So it's like it was like flashing back to like taking piano lessons and everything. I'm like, oh, I have to practice. But it's pretty impressive. I mean, you can go look. I think the video actually goes up today on it. And it's if you've been wanting to play guitar, learn how to play guitar, I would think that this would be a really great and also less expensive option, because games a whole lot cheaper than regular music lessons.
Yes.
Yeah.
They also had one where Sam Claiborne, one of our guides editors, he learned drums.
And then Hillary did keyboards.
He hasn't done it yet, has he?
No, it hasn't gone up yet. Oh, but that'll be.
Yeah, but then Hillary will be doing it. Yeah.
And I am dying, because I took piano lessons for years and years. Hillary has passed off the keyboard to me, and I'm dying to check it out, just as someone, you know, as an instrument I did play, like how it matches up with the experience. So I've been doing that, but I'm now done. Now I can go home. Now I'm like, last night was the first night, because we recorded on Tuesday. And so last night I got home and I'm like, all right, I don't have to practice. I could.
I can play. Play a game.
I can play. So Civ 5 was what I started playing last night. And what is amazingly impressive, I mean, it's Civ. You know, if you've ever played a Civ, it's not, it's Civ, but it's so impressive, like, the scalability of this one. I mean, because that game gets so complex and intense, but that you can opt out of so much of that. Like, if you're like, I can't pay attention to all these details and I don't want to, it'll auto-manage so much. And it really, like, walks you in really, really well. I mean, I've never been a big Civ player. I played a lot of Civ Revolution, the console one. You know, and I dabbled some, like, I'm going to date myself. My college boyfriend had Civ 2, and we would sit around and play that together. But beyond
which,
that, I haven't done
nationality did you choose?
I don't remember. I was usually not the one. You know,
no,
he
I mean,
was
like
playing,
on the
oh,
Civ 5.
And this one, well, it was the first one, and it was just playing as the, I think it was the Aztecs. Maybe the Incas. Isn't that awful? I'm not sure which one. It was one of the
maybe
Mexican
the Mayans,
or South American. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. That's what I've been playing.
What about you, Nicole?
Cool. Well, I was also in Japan, but I was not working, so I didn't play very much when I was there. I more just walked around the show floor. And
you wouldn't have been able to understand anything
stuff.
Anyway, so it's not
I did deal. Play through the Castlevania Lord of Shadow demo because my husband really wanted to play it, and he had to wait in line. I was waiting in line anyhow, so it's like, whatever, I might as well play it too.
Right.
I really wish that you had gone, because that was at the Sony booth, right? Or was it?
No,
was
I played it. Well, I think it was at Sony's booth, but I played it
you
at
played
Konami's.
You played it at Konami's. Oh, yeah. Never mind. Because there was the most amazing game at the PlayStation booth called Tokyo Jungle.
Yeah.
And I really wish you'd seen it. Yeah. Oh, it would have been so great. You play as a Pomeranian, and you go around killing other animals
I read about
in Tokyo.
Killing other animals. Christine?
Hey, what? But I'm not
think
a
it's
human.
Awesome.
I'm a Pomeranian.
It is pretty awesome that you're a Pomeranian.
It's awesome. Cool. Go look on IGN.com, and there's some info on it, because I wrote it.
Yeah. So the Castlevania, I mean, it was okay. It's kind of like God of War and Dante's Inferno. It's, you know.
Yeah.
We've seen it before, but I was never a big fan of the Castlevania series, so. And then on my long, long plane flight, I started playing Patapon on PSP, which I'd never played before, but I'd always wanted to.
The original or two?
The original one.
Oh, okay.
And I like it. I mean, it's got some issues, which I assume were probably fixed in two because everybody seems to love two. Mm-hmm. So that is really cool. And then last night, I dug back into Mass Effect 2. I am almost done with all of the loyalty missions, and then I'll be furthering the story.
Huzzah!
Yeah.
Yay!
You should play the DLC. The
You know, I think...
Later, the Shadow Broker.
I think... Oh, the new one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to say, I think my husband downloaded the DLC for it, but in that time, we've gotten a new Xbox, so we're going to have to re-download it and, you know, all
you
that
should really
kind of
do
stuff.
Later, the Shadow Broker.
Okay.
I mean, you don't need to, but I'm interested to see how it would affect your story before you went into the Omega Relay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't done that yet. So, yeah. Maybe I'll check that out. And then just got my copy of Civ 5, and my husband spent a decent chunk of the night last night installing it. And so I'll be playing it tonight.
That is all. I will say, and I worked on a PC gaming magazine, and the PC is really the first system that I played on. But as I was, because I downloaded it on Steam, and I preloaded it. So then I was like, okay, cool. And I clicked it, and it was like another hour of like just getting my computer to do the right stuff and everything. And it still screws up because that opening cinematic does not, like, it's only the box. There's like a big border around the edge around the bottom and right sides of the thing that is just my screen. Like, it's not taking up the whole thing. And it's like cutting out that part of the image. So that
weird.
Every time that cinematic plays, and once then the game itself boots up, then it's the whole screen. I don't know what it's doing. And I'm like,
oh, PCs, why are you so complicated?
They're just having it take so long to play.
So hopefully I'll get to check it out tonight, I can peel my husband away from it. And if not, then I'll just play more Mass Effect. Oh, we also played, right before we left for Japan, my husband and I played a little bit of Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light together, which was pretty fun. I don't know how fun it would be in single person. It was pretty fun in co-op. It's lacking a lot of the depth that I liked about the, you know, traditional Tomb Raider games. Like, the puzzles are fairly simple, and you're kind of running through
the puzzles.
Levels
change, I hear,
quickly.
Depending on whether or not you're playing co-op or single player.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I
but they've seemed very simple to me thus far. Like, there hasn't been any smart, huge, expansive, like, I mean, like, in Underworld,
right,
there was this one area that was this huge, expansive, like, cliff area that she had to climb and jump.
Oh, I hated that area because I kept on falling. You know, I would always get to the last jump, and then I'm like, oh.
Gotta do it all over.
Sorry,
so
Laura.
I love those kinds of puzzles, and this one doesn't quite have that, but it is still pretty fun.
I would like them a lot more if I were coordinated, which I am not. I am actually looking forward to downloading, see, again, for the umpteenth time, how many times have I played this stupid game, Plants vs. Zombies for 360 for the co-op and versus play.
Yes.
Like, yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
That will be fun.
Yeah. All right. So that's what we're playing. So we're going to move on to our topic of the week, which we've talked about a little bit already, but that is TGS.
Tokyo Game Show. Woo! Game goes to a new chapter.
Was that what the
slogan
was?
That was the slogan was this year. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
It's not necessarily a happy chapter.
No. Yeah. It's a new chapter, though.
Our topic is basically we're going to delve into whether or not TGS is very relevant anymore and kind of what that means for Japan's influence on the industry as a whole. Because mm-hmm. I think we can all agree that Japan has sort of been on the decline when it comes to game development.
Yes.
So for me personally, like, I was like at TGS, I was like, this is it? Like, I mean, the biggest factor that did that for me was, like, they had this ginormous lit up, like, gate that you walked through. Mm-hmm. It was like Tokyo Game Show 2010. And then there was this big empty space right behind the gate. Like, the mm-hmm. first booth was like halfway back the hall.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, either they just don't know how to lay this out very mm-hmm. well, but like,
which I think is also the case.
Yeah.
There's like some weird placement.
Feng Shui. That's
yeah.
what it is.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. But I was really surprised at how small it was. And I've never been before, so I don't know if that's any different than it was in the past, but I don't know. It just did not impress me.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But I do think it's interesting that this show is probably, I mean, let's see, what did they have? New Devil May Cry, Last Guardian release date, that was it, and then mm-hmm. some stupid trailer. And I thought the trailer was just boring. I wanted more. Like, I wanted to be mm-hmm. able to see it being played or, you know, mm-hmm. something right. happening. And the trailer was gameplay footage, but it was just all clipped together in a weird way
right.
that mm-hmm. I didn't like. And then, obviously, the Shadow of the Colossus and Eco mm-hmm. package, which I'm like, woohoo! Cool, next year. And then I think that was, I mean, I'm trying to think of other announcements that came out of there.
I'm so bitter and angry because I was the only one who's like, this is gonna be great. At least for JRPG fans, we'll have a lot more Last Guardian, we'll have a lot more Versus, we'll have a new Persona game, we'll have new this.
There was new Versus, a trailer that you can't see.
Yeah. And it was like a 1 minute of both Versus and Agito.
Yes, Agito.
Like, together. It was like, Square Enix, I'm worried about this because it's like, you've been working on this since I've practically worked here and mm-hmm. you still don't have anything to super show for it. And I'm a little concerned. What is happening?
Then they had another, the Final Fantasy 012.
Oh, the Dissidia.
Dissidia. Okay, Ryan Clements was excited.
Oh, okay.
Of course he
Tifa
was.
Tifa is in it.
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh. Did you know that her hair was modeled after a dolphin tail?
What?
That's true.
There's a bit of confusion.
I don't even know who she is, but wow.
All right. Never mind.
But like, I was supposed to be enthusiastic about, like, Devil May Cry. I didn't care.
Oh man, Ryan Clements freaking out. He was so excited. But a lot of people had a very negative reaction to it.
I didn't pay attention to a lot of the announcements. My husband mm-hmm. and I just kind of walked the show floor mm-hmm. and, like, really Castlevania was like mm-hmm. one of the only things that we played. There was nothing else that was that interesting. They had a huge Monster Hunter booth.
That for the booth PSP was really cool.
It was a cool booth, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, this is for a PSP game? Like, this PSP
game
is
big,
huge
yes.
over mm-hmm. here. But I did get two plushies. I got a Monster Hunter dragon. And
did you get the kitty?
No, I didn't get the kitty. I got the dragon instead because I'm more into dragons. But I did get a Moogle, a Final Fantasy Moogle, because I love those guys. They're
cute. Got a Ni No Kuni bag.
That's cute.
Yeah. I was playing that game. I was like, oh, it's so pretty. I wish I knew what the hell was going on. I wish I read Japanese. But it was funny because I was just like running around. I had no idea what I was doing. And the little handler lady was like, you're looking for a red fish. And I was like, what? I'm looking for a red fish? And she's like, just follow the other guy, the character that's with you. And I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't even realize that I could follow him. Like, right. I thought he was just following me. But then eventually I figured that out. And then
did you find the red fish?
I got a red fish. And I took him up to the castle. This town was super cute. They're all little cat people. And then regular humans as well. And the guards were regular humans, but they had cat helmets on, which was awesome. And then, you bring the redfish up to the castle, and the king is a fat orange tabby cat. He's adorable. He's just like chilling on his throne. And he's like, meow. But I had no idea what he said. So I just.
Yeah.
No idea what the story is besides you need to go find a red fish, but it looks good.
Yeah, there were a few amusing games that I saw but didn't necessarily play. There's the general busty female, what was it, Dream Club or whatever, where they're dressed up like French maids. Yeah, it's like a big group of French maids that are like dancing and singing. It's for DS.
People can't see that, but my eyebrows went way up.
Yeah, there were a couple of them, so I was like going through my mind which one you were talking about.
And then
there was another dating game where you can apparently feed the girl bananas.
I don't think I saw that one.
It was at the Xbox 360 booth.
Oh,
believe it or
not,
the Microsoft booth. This is one of the games that was there. It was some weird dating sim,
I guess. Milo.
You have bananas. And you drink some beer. Like, it was totally weird.
Speaking of dating sims, I did get my picture taken with the Love Plus girl.
Oh, good.
Isaac insisted.
I totally wanted to play that. If I could read Japanese, I would have played it. But I was like, I'm not going to know what's going on.
Yeah. And then the other thing, I didn't actually see this in action, but they had it was like an indie area where it looked, there was some university or whatever is developing a game that teaches you how to give a massage by using the balance board.
I didn't see that. Damn, that would have been one of our weirdest games.
Yeah, aww. Well, they didn't actually have it there, playing it. Like, they just had somebody standing by a computer, and there was a picture of a guy, like, with his hands on the balance board. It was like...
Oh, God, we didn't see that.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Wow. I think part of TGS's problem, I mean, way back when I started in this industry, covering this industry, like the two big things, you had E3 in May and then TGS in September, October. And those were kind of the two big, big gaming events. But like in that time, all this other stuff has started to pop up and E3 has moved to June. Well, you have Comic-Con
Comic-Con
has blown up and has a lot of game stuff there. And then you have Gamescom, which has gotten the European show, which has gotten so much bigger since then. PAX, which didn't exist before then.
So,
when you think about like from Comic-Con, Gamescom, PAX, and TGS all happened within a 2 month span.
Yeah.
And
it's a lot
and
of stuff.
for companies, it's like you can't show something new at all of those. And so you have to pick. And I think by the time we hit TGS, people just run out of stuff. It's like, some people save things back, and obviously Japanese companies are going to be more inclined to do that, but it's
but I mean, even lots of them didn't have a lot.
Right.
Like, I thought it was interesting that there were basically no Wii games at the show.
That is interesting.
Yeah, and Nintendo doesn't exhibit there either.
Right.
They do like their
but
own thing.
Apparently, I mean, I was talking to some of the guys who'd gone, he's like, even 2 years ago, this was just full of Wii games, and now there's nothing. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
That is interesting.
But on the flip side, I mean, it's gotten smaller, but there are still a ton of people that go to this event on those public days. It was insane. I took a picture of the line because I could see it outside my hotel room, and I was just like, oh, dear God, I'm not going in there. But then I was like, well, I have to go in there because I have to go try and see if I wanted to go see if it was realistic that I had like one or two smaller games to go play. And I got in there. I was like, nope. Not happening. I'm not waiting 2 hours to see this game that I won't understand anyway.
Did you guys not have media passes, or they just don't care?
Oh, no. Japan does not give a shit about IGN.
Yeah.
Also, really freaking annoying.
Or
about media badges. Mm. They don't care. They're super strict.
Well, your badge doesn't even say who you are.
It just says media.
And
then
it
has
a number.
Like you're a prisoner.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the Sony booth, they had the Move games, and so... I went up to the information booth. I'm like, hi, I'm media. Mm-hmm. I need to see this game. Mm-hmm. Okay, go over there and you'll get a ticket. Mm-hmm. Okay, go over there to this new line. Stand in this line. Go get up to the lady. I'm like, yeah, I need a ticket for this game. Oh, no. One game. I'm like, no, I have to cover these four games.
Yeah.
And then, like, I just sat. I knew she didn't really speak English. I'm like looking around, right, seeing if there's anybody else. And she pulled someone over. And I was like trying to explain to him, like, you know, I'm with the media. I need to go see more than one game. And he's like, well, what you have to do then is you have to come get a ticket, go play your game, come back, stand in line again, another ticket, go play the game. I was like, no, that's going to take all day. And I've got other stuff to cover. So guess what? I'm not covering your stuff.
Yeah.
So we didn't cover a lot of move stuff. Yeah. I got my one ticket for the most important game.
Uh-huh.
Here's on the move. And then after that, I was just like, don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Sony. Maybe you should not have such a stupid system.
That's ridiculous.
I was like, but media? Like, I understand if you're doing that for
crowd control.
You know, for crowd control and that sort of reasons. But what? And they're like, nope, even for media. Like, all right. Well, good luck not having any coverage on your games.
Yeah.
Because nobody's going to wait in line to see, what's it? It was like Power Smash 4 or Big Shooter 3.
Yeah, I didn't realize there'd been a Power Smash 3, 2, or 1.
There has. And now I think it's in 3D.
Woo!
Yeah.
So, I mean, TGS, it was fun, but a lot of the stuff was just a pain in the ass because...
To E3 was that the whole lining up to play demos seemed much more organized. Like they had
that's
actually
because it's Japan.
They are very organized, but it can be too organized. Like you need the stamp to go over here to do this and
But you know, at E3, I don't know how many times we've been like, you know, waiting for something and then somebody sneaks in front of you and that wasn't happening. Like you didn't go near, at least in Konami where I waited in line, you didn't get near the station until
they were well guarded.
Yeah.
By tiny Japanese women.
Yeah.
That is my favorite thing about Japan because I do like things orderly and I like it how people actually stand like, or people really stand on the right side and walk on the left.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
Makes me very happy.
Or actually, it's the opposite way. Yeah. They stand walk on the left.
Is that what
they
it was?
They stand on the left and walk on the right.
Yeah, they do.
Yes. Yeah, they do. Let's talk about what Ueda said, though. The last Guardian thing. Christine was there for that.
Yeah, I was at the last Guardian panel, like typing the news to Jim, who was awake. And then at the very end, some very strange comment. So I guess somebody asked, like, you know, you've only had male characters. Mm-hmm. Why is that? And then they're like, well... This is all through a translator, so I'm hoping something got lost in translation here. Well, the person, or you know, the protagonist in The Last Guardian was supposed to be a little girl, but then we thought, well, little girls don't have as much upper body strength, so they wouldn't be able to climb as well, and also little girls wear skirts. And I just went, what?
Does that mean they didn't want you looking up her skirt?
I mean, I'm sure.
But isn't that opposite of what Japan wants?
I know. Why not? Because I'm sitting next to another girl there, and I look down, and I'm wearing pants.
I was going to say, I'm wearing pants.
I think we're all wearing
pants. And I was like, shoot, we forgot our skirts today.
I will tell you, even my young daughter wears pants.
Yeah. I was like, you could. I understand that you don't want an upskirt shot, but you don't need a skirt for a little girl.
You're just called
Little Girls Week.
Yeah.
It's a video game. It doesn't need to be super
also
realistic.
Also, little girls versus little boys, there's not a lot of difference in upper body strength.
No. Yeah. They're both little.
Yeah.
They're not going to be very strong.
Yeah.
And it's also a game.
It's exactly.
It's not real.
More importantly, it is a game.
Yeah.
So you don't need to...
Yeah, well, I mean, Japan definitely does have different...
misogyny standards.
Yes. I just thought it was, I mean, it was just so the translator, he didn't add any sort of humor. He didn't go ha ha. He didn't smile. Like, it was just matter of fact, little girls are weaker and they wear skirts.
And were you like,
and everybody, huh? No, I think everybody just did the head tilt. The huh? Did we?
Yeah.
And there was a little bit of hubbub after it because, like, that was, and then that was the last question. That was the end of the event. And I was like, so what a strange note to end on.
Yeah.
And then I just felt weird the rest of the day.
The other strange thing I encountered in Japan, which I didn't know about, but my husband apparently did, is we were waiting to get on the train. And then there's these little signs at some of the things that say women only. And I was like, what?
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, some during rush hour, these cars are for women only because they have a groping problem.
They do. They really do. Well, that's kind of nice, I guess.
Yeah, it's nice.
Something else interesting. I was buying snacks for the plane on my way home, and I was going to go get some Pocky because I like it.
Yeah.
And I saw Pocky, and then I saw Pocky for men.
Yeah, I know.
And I went, what?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Yeah. I don't know the differences either.
And
yeah.
I was wondering if I had like taken that package up, if they would let me buy it. Or if they'd be like, you are not a man.
Yeah.
You cannot buy this.
Yeah. Or they would laugh at you like, you clearly don't know what you're doing, you silly foreigner.
Yes, I don't know.
Yeah.
It says for men in English.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing that drove me crazy when I lived in Japan is that you could buy porno on the streets. And Isaac and I went into
one of those 5-story like sex shops things just to see what it was like because it was so goofy.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see any of those.
And the top, there was one in Akihabara. It was like right outside the
station. There's another famous one, I think, in Harajuku too.
Yeah. But women weren't allowed on the top floor.
Why?
Yeah.
What was up there? Did he tell you?
He's like life-size dolls and things of that
nature.
For
men.
But like, I don't understand like
why needed to be protected.
Right,
from
exactly.
No, I think it's
but
more
he said
the guys don't want.
They don't want to be embarrassed.
Yeah. They don't want having some girl
there.
Looking at the fact that you're buying a blow-up doll.
There was stuff on the lower floors that was just as bad, in my opinion. So I don't understand. I don't know.
That's the floor you can just go up immediately to and shop in with peace.
Yeah.
Don't worry about
not to be bothered by. All these silly women running around.
Right, yes. Yeah. That store was actually extremely full when we were in there, too, really? Which was really kind of funny.
That's funny.
It was very interesting. But the best part of Akihabara was the arcades, which were super cool.
I love Brian and I spent so much time in arcades when we were over there. It was just a ton of fun.
Yeah, unfortunately, I mostly worked. But the one, half day I got to go out, I went to Harajuku and walked around there and... Mm-hmm. But then I had a story and I totally lost it. Oh well.
Did you see any Harajuku girls?
No, there was. It was weird. It was.
I
nobody
saw
was
some.
Dressed.
You have to go out there
super
like
abnormally.
You usually
weekend.
Sunday.
I went on a Sunday.
Oh,
nobody
yeah,
was
we
there.
Went on a
Sunday,
Sunday too.
Sunday.
There weren't a lot of them, but I saw a few kind of lollygoth girls. And we also
I guess I saw a couple of them, but they weren't.
And we also saw some.
I was expecting everybody to.
Which is actually very much like the United States. A teenage girl who was with her mom, and you could tell she was just so not happy that her mom was with her.
Oh.
It was really funny.
I saw a tantrum that was pretty good.
Oh, wow.
And I was with Fran, who has, loves Japan, has been a lot. And he was like, wow, I've never seen this before. This is amazing. And this kid's just like in America, screaming. Right. The mom's just dragging him on the ground off to get out of the sidewalk to like go in some corner. I was just like, oh, man, this is great.
The best thing I saw
I've
when
been
I
that
lived
person.
There. The best thing I saw when I lived there was the trend at the time, and I don't know if it holds anymore, but teenage girls would dress up as in animal costumes. So I saw like a cow and a pig and a sheep just hanging around at 11 o'clock at night in Shibuya, dressed in what looked like 5-year-old pajamas, but for young teenage girls. So they would actually go out in public, and at 11 o'clock at night, they'd sit there dressed up as farm animals.
In pajamas.
Yeah.
I didn't see any of those.
I didn't see that either.
That was spectacularly funny.
Oh, I remembered what it was. We went to the Mario Bar. I can't remember the name of it in Japanese, but it means Forever Mario. It's a Mario themed bar.
Really?
So
I didn't know about this.
Yeah, it was really cool. All the drinks are like Mario themed, so you can be like, I would like a Mario, and it's a type of drink, or I would like a Princess Peach or a Diet Coke. And
yeah,
but we went up there and we had too many
how
people
because
it was part of the not touching that one.
Yeah.
And you could just go up there and order whatever kind. I guess somebody he does know all the games, so if you want him to make up a drink, he will. Mm-hmm. Like I would like a Zelda. He doesn't necessarily have that on the menu, but he'll like sit there and think about it and then sort of make up what he thinks a Zelda would be. And there, that you can play video games in the bar and stuff. But it's super small. Only about 12 people can fit in there.
Wow.
And we had about 9 people with us, so there was no way we were getting in. But we just I took some pictures and then left.
Mm-hmm. Wait, where was this?
It was in Shinjuku.
Oh.
And then we went off to 8-Bit Bar instead, which was cool. But not as cool as the Mario Bar, because I accidentally ordered tea instead of an alcoholic beverage.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
So
I would be very sad.
I was like, oh. First my thought was, why is this taking so damn long? And then everybody else was learning that too. And then they're like, oh my gosh, he's making it right now, but he's making something on the stove. What did you order? I was like, I don't know. This or like, and then he comes back with a teapot, and I went, oh, oh no, that's not gonna have alcohol in it. But then one of the guys that was with me was like, be careful, there might be some crazy alcoholic tea, or like it might have acid in it. And I was like, what?
Yeah,
you do have to be careful. When we were in Vietnam and we ordered this random we were just at a restaurant and ordered random soup, but halfway through, and it was like the sort of hot potty sort of thing where you're just adding a bunch of stuff in as you go. And halfway through, I was like, I'm feeling kind of funny. And I look over at Brian and I'm like, I'm feeling a little bit weird. And he was like, me too. And we think one of the greens in there like had some sort of hallucinogenic
property.
Oh my God. We were both like,
oh God.
Whoa,
thankfully, my tea was normal tea.
Yeah.
I didn't, trip or anything. So.
I mean, it was mild.
So overall, I think our verdict, well, at least my verdict is TGS thumbs down, Japan.
Yeah.
Thumbs up.
Agreed. And Jess also wanted me to say that she agrees that TGS is pretty much dead, and that's one of the reasons why she didn't go this year.
Mm.
It's like,
but Japan, yep, is awesome.
But Japan is awesome. Yes. But TGS, it leaves something to be desired. It needs
to get
its
legs back. And what do we think about...
I hope it comes back, because I would like to continue to go to Japan and cover it. And I can't do that if it keeps going downhill. And
right.
Then we're like, well, there's no point in us going anymore.
And what do we think about Japan and, kind of the Japanese influence on the industry?
I think the overall cultural tendency towards tradition and stuff is hurting it
a
lot.
You're
and
not seeing a lot
of
anything creative,
no,
I think.
It's all the same over and over.
Yeah, where it was easy to get away with that stuff in
not
the 80s, I think.
Not that American companies aren't guilty of repetition, too, but you see some cool little indie stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I think you see a lot more of that happening here.
Yeah, and they're afraid to, reestablish their franchises like Dragon Quest IX.
Right.
It's just as traditional as every other Dragon Quest. So it was kind of like they're afraid to, offend their audience because they're so rabid.
Uh-huh.
Oh, especially for Dragon Quest.
Yes. Yeah, Dragon Quest. If they ever changed Monster Hunter, I'm sure there'd be riots in Japan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's what we think of that. Japan needs to be more creative with their games. But as a country, they're super cool. All right, let's move on to questions. As always, if you have questions, you can send them to ign.girlfight@gmail.com. Our first question comes to us from Mark. Mark is troubled by the fact that everybody who plays online multiplayer acts like a bunch of kids, and he wants to know how he could find mature hardcore gamers to play online games with.
No idea. I haven't found any.
Luck of the draw.
I would say maybe go on the Xbox forums or whatnot. And obviously you're going to have lots of immaturity on there too, but you still might find somebody who has, carries on a decent conversation and might be, someone cool. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, I mean, I think just going online and trying to seek out some sort of community like that.
Yeah.
And then, if you start to, you're like, okay, these people seem normal and rational and like they're not going to completely freak out. But I think it'll take some hunting. I don't know. I've never felt.
Yeah.
I've never wanted to find, I've just figured I'm just going to still stay by myself and ignore everybody.
Yeah.
Not play with
I do that
anyone.
Too. Exactly. I'm going to stay over here.
Yeah. Sorry that that's not a lot of advice, but hopefully that will help a little bit. Next question comes to us from Kayla. Kayla says she wants to get into the gaming industry. However, her personal interest is in being more of a manager coordinator type. And she has a physical disability that she doesn't think that game design or testing or something where she's got to be playing the game constantly would work for her. So she wants to know if we have any suggestions of things that she could do in the industry, taking that into account. And I actually have a perfect one, and that is to be a producer.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Because in most cases, the producer is like a project manager. You are coordinating communication between the programmers and the artists and the designers and making sure everybody hits their deadlines and, you know,
setting up schedules in the first place.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. So that's perfect for someone who likes mm-hmm. to be like a project coordinator. Any other thoughts?
No,
nope. I hit it right on the head. Yeah.
Okay. All righty. Next question comes to us from Kieran Busby, who I think has sent us a question before. Yeah. He wants to know which one we think will do better, Move or Connect.
Connect. But I don't think either one will do well.
Yes. Yeah. I'm same way. But obviously Connect, because it's new and shiny. And it's right. Like, you know, the Move different is kind of like, oh, I understand this concept. It's the Wii and I have one at my house.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't play.
The Kinect is like, what? I don't have any control. I mean, it may not work, but they won't know that until they buy it.
Right. So, exactly. Yeah. I think I'd have to agree with you on that one.
Plus, too. Kinect has Dance Central and Move Dance does Central. Not have Dance Central.
No. That's true.
This is the worst dancer in the world. But I'm still excited by the prospect.
You might be the best dancer in the world after.
Okay, next question comes to us from Steve. This is not a gaming-related question, but he says he has a new kitten and that it loves beating the crap out of him when he's trying to sleep. It pounces on him.
Good luck with that.
Bites his man nipples and scratches his nose. He says in the dark, this is pretty terrifying.
Okay, you cannot be scared of a cat, a kitten.
On calming it down.
Play it with it before you go to bed. They're nocturnal, so you know, you have to make sure it's tired before you go to bed. Not only that, I've had a lot of kittens in my life. Mm-hmm. So I always, this is going to sound super weird, I growl at them when they're doing something that they're doing and I do not like.
Also,
and it actually works.
Also a good deterrent, water gun.
Yeah, but you're not going to sleep with that.
Water guns are, you can just keep right by your bed. It's hard in the dark. Yeah. But water guns are good for deterring them.
Because
it doesn't hurt them, but man, they do not like that at all. And then you don't have to get up. Or you just like, get one with a good, get one with a good reach. So.
And this is not me talking. No, I don't shoot kittens with water.
Oh, I totally shot my cat my vocal all the cords. Time. Yeah, and then he got old.
And maybe that's why he's on Prozac
and now. Yeah, he is on Prozac.
Your cat is on Prozac?
It's a long story.
You made your cat depressed because you shot it with water.
No, my cat is depressed because I had a child.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And he's not a fan of having a child around. So he's depressed. And
I don't think many cats are.
You should make him more depressed and get a new kitten.
Yeah, it comes out by his. So when he's depressed, he gets stressed. And when he's stressed, then he pukes a lot. Or he wakes me up in the middle of the night and he becomes. He's just a neurotic. He's just gotten so neurotic. He's old, old, old. I don't know how long he's going to be with. But the Prozac does mellow him out a little bit. So now he's not waking me up in the middle of the night.
God.
To fill his already full food dish.
Oh, cats are weird.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I love me my dogs.
Yeah.
Next question comes to us from Joe. Joe says he's a huge Sony fan, but he knows like nobody who plays PS3, but he has about 6 trillion friends who own a 360, and they're constantly bugging him to buy their system, and he wants to know if he should.
Sure. I don't know.
If you
play with
have
your friends?
The money,
yeah,
I guess, well, but a lot of things are coming out for both platforms.
I was going to say that I would really look at, how much do you want to play games with your friends online?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But then the other big thing is, I mean, look at the exclusives. Like, are you interested in playing Gears of War and Halo and Fable? Are those games appealing to you? Because if they're not,
then there's no
not
reason
a lot of
to.
Reason.
Yeah.
I will say you could beef up your PSN friends list by sending an email to Beyond, to Podcast Beyond, because they do a shout out every week. And then, you know, people add them as friends.
Yeah.
And you can make new friends that play PS3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go. Next question comes to us from Mohammed. Mohammed, this is kind of an old one. This came in on July 15th,
oh, no.
And he said last week was his birthday. Sorry, Mohammed. Happy belated birthday.
Happy birthday.
But
happy first day of fall.
Yes.
He wanted to know what console he should get. I assume he's probably bought one already. And what should be the first trophy or achievement?
Well, that would depend on what the first game is.
As I am not a chaser, I would buy, if I had to pick between a PS3 and a 360, like taking the friends aspect out of it aside, because that's the reason why I think I default to 360, but I would get a PS3.
Uh-huh.
Because yeah. I like Sony's exclusive games better than I like Microsoft's, because I'm not a big FPS fan.
I agree, too. Mm-hmm. I also like having a Blu-ray player.
Yeah, the Blu-ray is nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I also like the controller better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do, too.
All right.
The D-pad doesn't suck.
Next question.
it's actually a D-pad.
Comes to us from Carl. Carl wants to know, what is our ideal vision of a female video game character? That's a hard one.
One who doesn't need to be rescued.
I liked, as is evidenced by my gamer tag, I really liked Governor Elaine Marley in the Secret of Monkey Island series. Mm-hmm. Hate her in the new updates because she sounds annoying as hell, but... Back before she had a voice, she was great.
Yeah, I mean, I think I can. Someone smart who can handle their own problems, attractive, but not ridiculously
sexualized.
I think Samus is actually a good example of an
ideal.
Oh, yeah, I should also make sure that people know that Until Other
Well, I don't know. I don't think Samus would not be ideal for me, because I would want somebody. A character I could connect with and know about their personality. And I haven't played Other M, and apparently, you know, Samus' story gets told more. But in previous Metroid games, she's nothing but a soldier in a suit.
I don't think you would, from what I have read, I have also not played it, but it doesn't sound like it would make you like her more.
Yeah.
No.
You find out more about her, and then you're like,
oh,
why
I wish
are you
I didn't
crying?
Know anything more about
why
her.
Why are you being so
girly?
Yeah.
Whiny. Like, this is all they know. How to,
yeah.
Yeah. This is how a girl is.
She cries all
back
cry.
To Japan, skirts
yes,
and crying.
Skirts and crying.
That's all we do. Hang on.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So some examples for me that I really like, and I've said this a million times, Zoe in Dreamfall and Jen in Primal.
Shell, Portal.
Yes.
Although not a lot of personality there.
No, not a lot of personality. Yeah. But she does it by herself.
She does. I liked Nariko.
Her and her companion cube.
Yep.
Okay, next question comes to us from Matt. Matt wants to know, when IGN Girl Fight the movie comes out, who would you want to play you?
What?
Well, I think there's a difference between who I'd want to play me and who probably would play me.
I don't know.
We'll just go with want for now, and I'll say Natalie Portman.
Oh, that's nice one.
I think I would go with... Kate Winslet.
That's also a good
one. That's a good
one. No, I always blank when I come up, like, because there are all these people that I think would be, like, cool to go hang out with and get a drink with that seem like they would be fun. I don't know.
Megan?
I can't think of anyone I look like.
I'll have Kate Blanchett play me, even though she looks nothing like me.
She's
awesome.
Very good at changing her look.
She played Bob Dylan.
Yes.
How much of a stretch would it be to play me?
Well played.
Plus, she can rock couture like no one's business.
Yes. I really like her. She's great.
Okay, so next question comes to us from Scott. Scott says, after listening to us talk about Dragon Age, all he hears is Alistair, 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 and he wants to know, why do we love this guy so much?
Because he had a sarcastic sense of humor that I really enjoyed.
Yeah, he was for you know, lack of a better way to explain it, he was kind of like, I guess, the type of guy that I think most gamer girls would go after. Like, he was kind of shy and a little bit goofy and dorky, but sarcastic and had a good sense of humor. Mm-hmm. So,
and it could kick butt in battle.
And he was hot.
Yeah, he was hot. So, and Steve Valentine gave him an incredibly thicky voice.
Yeah. So yeah, that's where we like him. It's kind of like, you know, why guys like Bayonetta or whoever.
Whoever it is you all like.
Whatever you do.
Okay, we've got time for a couple more. Next one comes to us from Johnny. Johnny says that he really likes Battlefield Heroes, but he says none of his friends know what it is, and he's so mad because lots of good games never get found because they're not promoted by a big company like EA or whatever. And He just wants to know, I guess, it's not really a question in here, what we think of that.
It all comes down to business plans. And a company looks at the stuff and they're like, do we think we can, if we spend a lot of money in marketing, do we think we're going to make it back in sales?
Yeah.
And they, so some games get buried.
And some companies honestly don't have the money to compete with the.
Yeah, they just have to hope word of mouth.
They have to hope word of mouth, and that the press will also pick up on it and cover it.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is.
Yep.
Okay. Next question comes to us from Rex. Oh, hold on. This is for Jess. He wants to know where you can get a taser.
I can't believe you can't Google that.
Yeah. You could totally Google that. Go do it. She doesn't need to answer that for you.
Yeah. Next question comes to us from Hunter. Hunter wants to know, if we were trapped in a mall full of zombies forever, number one, what gun would we use? Number two, who would your partner be? And number three, what one song would you choose to play for the rest of time?
Oh my God!
Oh, this sounds.
I would just.
I think I would let the zombies get me.
No! You have a gun with one bullet, and you use it on yourself.
I would take a shotgun because I like shotguns because there's a very satisfying.
I don't,
like,
because they're too close range for me. I prefer to be
they
far away.
They take too long to reload.
I know, but I mean, we're just like, the feeling of like shooting the shotgun is much. It's like very satisfying because it's just like a very.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just go based on that because, you know, this is not like this is a realistic scenario anyway.
If we're going video game wise, I'll choose pistols because those never run out of ammo. Magically.
Just like in real life.
Yeah. You just never have to load them. It's amazing. Partner?
What would I go with for my partner? Real life? I would take a...
Wait, real life or a video game?
I would totally take Arnold Schwarzenegger because he always seems to make it through alive any scenario.
Exactly. Yeah, but you might not. It might just be
him. That's true.
Yeah.
I could be the red shirt. What song for eternity? Oof.
Yeah, I don't think I'm able to pick that one.
No.
But I would take machine guns because they're the most effective I found in pretty much any shooter. My partner would be, I don't remember his character's name, but Cillian Murphy's character in 28 Days Later. Because he kicked butt and he's also very nice to look at.
He is very nice to look at.
So
I haven't seen that movie, but I'll choose him too.
Yeah. He is very
I can't
very
think of anybody
nice
else. Like,
he has the most amazing eyes.
Yes.
I'll go with Arnold, shotgun. How about Enya's marble halls?
Oh, no. Enya. Oh,
no,
God.
Not Enya. Forever and ever and ever.
Anything
and ever.
Shotgun
forever,
to the face.
Yes.
All right. Next question comes to us from Marshall. Marshall wants to know how important we think graphics are when we're playing games.
I mean, it's not everything, but it's nice to have something nice to look at.
Yeah.
It's nice to not go to just be thinking to yourself, this is ugly.
Yeah.
Right. It also depends on the type of game, too. Like, obviously, you don't care about graphics so much in a puzzle game as you do in an RPG. And I tend to be pretty forgiving of them most cases, but if there's something that just stands out as being really, really bad, that super bothers me, like Alan Wake.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, if it's bad graphics,
that was bad lip syncing.
Well, I mean, I consider that whole animation thing.
Yeah,
graphics.
The animation was pretty bad.
So
and I have to say, you know, like, I'll also be much more forgiving of bad graphics if it's a good game.
Yes.
Like, bad graphics in a bad game, then you're just, like, going to hate it more and more, and you're like, rah.
And to clarify, the reason we were so worked up about Dragon Age screenshots is because one of the number one things they were touting as something that they'd fixed was the graphics.
Graphics.
So you can't say that and then have screenshots. But to be fair to it, it's one of those games where the screenshots do not translate well.
Yeah.
It looks better on... Mm-hmm.
I don't want to play a PlayStation 3 game that looks like jagged glass or square.
Well, yeah, on the
PS3,
then there's much less excuse.
That kind
for
of
it.
Yeah, it would have to be something extreme.
Well,
like
not
that,
really. A lot of the ports have been really bad because they usually develop on Xbox and then port over to PS3, and
that's
that does
true.
Not. Work
yeah,
out
lots
so well.
Of developers simply don't know how to take advantage of that machine either. So it's extremely complicated to develop for.
Yep.
All right, we got time for one more. This one comes to us from Virtue.
Cool.
Wants to know, what happened to the Beatles rock band? Did Harmonix lose a ton of money on it? He says that he's seeing the game now selling for $20, and they haven't been releasing
bundled
anymore.
With instruments? $20?
No, just the
game.
Oh,
I was like, what?
and they haven't been releasing.
Christine's like, hang on,
Jesus, hold on, I gotta go buy it.
Any more?
Oh, that's
DLC.
True. They haven't.
Oh,
I do know that it did not make as much money as MTV had hoped it would. As far as the DLC, I guess it's not selling either. I mean, when you think about them doing DLC, the way Harmonix does Rock Band is they go in and hand make all of the tracks for, you know, easy, medium, hard, and expert. So that's a lot of work that goes into each song,
right?
And each instrument.
And
on top
of
I was
going to
say,
the
and
ways,
now on top of on it, top from of here on out, it's going to be pro.
Yes.
Versions of all of it in addition to.
I was thinking it's more expensive. I mean, it's already more expensive to license Beatles songs. So that's also.
Yeah.
Another.
Well, I mean, they signed a big deal at the beginning that
for
gave
all
them
of the
access.
Songs, though, or
well,
just
no, to a certain chunk of them.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know if they've run out of all the ones they licensed. I'm not sure. But I do assume that the DLC is probably not selling
like they thought it would.
As well as they thought it would. And it's probably they're not making money off of the time that they have to spend actually making the game for it. So.
Right. And it's not for lack of advertising. So remember, I was flipping channels and VH1 had a whole special and it advertised like, you know, the game like every 30 seconds. And so that was probably a colossal
people knew about
amazing
it,
yeah.
Well, actually the best-selling SKU of that game was the Wii version.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to wrap it up. Thanks so much for listening. If you have questions, you can send those to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/IGNGirlFight. And you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/IGNGirlFight. And you can follow each of us personally on my IGN.
Woo! That was a lot.
Yeah, you look like you had something to say.
No, I was breathing for you.
Oh, okay, thanks. yeah, thanks so much for listening, and we will be back with you next week.